Durapa Hyalpa Tapasa. Seva Vaikuntha Vatmasu.
Seva Vaikuntha Vatmasu.
Yatra Bhagiyate Nityam. Devadeva Janadana. Durapa. Rarely obtainable. He certainly. Alpa Tapasa. Of one whose austerity is meager. Seva. Service. Vaikuntha. The transcendental kingdom of God. Vatmasu. On the path of. Yatra. Wherein. Upagiyate. Is glorified. Nityam. Always. Deva. Of the demigods. Devaha. The Lord. Janardanaha, the controller of the living entities. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Persons whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees who are progressing on the path back to the kingdom of Godhead, the Vaikunthas. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods, the controller of all living entities. Purport. The path of liberation, as recommended by all authorities, is to serve the Mahatma transcendentalists. As far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, the Mahatmas are the pure devotees who are on the path to Vaikuntha, the kingdom of God, and who always chant and hear the glories of the Lord rather than talk of dry, profitless philosophy. This system of association has been recommended since time immemorial, but in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, it is especially recommended by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even if one has no assets of favourable austerity, if he nevertheless takes shelter of the Mahatmas, who are engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, he is sure to make progress on the path back home, back to Godhead. Om again to Miranda Sarganajana Shalakya. Chakshanam Nathamina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Durapa hyalpa tapasa seva vaikuntha vatmasu. Yatra pagiyate nityam devadeva janadana. Persons whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees who are progressing on the path back to the kingdom of Godhead, the Vaikunthas. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods and the controller of all. Austerity preludes all of our activities, actually. The very famous example is Lord Brahma himself. As the first two words he hears is tapa tapa. And the austerities he performs for so many thousands of years of the demigods before his secondary commissioner activities of creation. He had to perform so many austerities and meditation to be able to complete this task of, well, creation. And as we heard from Keshava Prabhu just recently about the third canto in general, I think, creation and the cosmos and the details, the technical details discussed between Vidura and Maitreya three times, I think, in the third canto. At this point, Vidura, as we'll hear in tomorrow's verse purport, is fully satisfied with the answers that Maitreya has given for his questions. And now they're going to do a bit of a recap. So yes, at the beginning of the third canto, you hear about the cosmos, and then he asks questions about devotional service and the association of devotees. Then he wants a summary. So you hear about the cosmos again, so it's summarized form. And now, he asks more questions about devotees and devotional service and how to attain liberation. And he's fully satisfied with those answers, and now, beginning from tomorrow onwards, Maitreya will again summarize what they've discussed. So that's why you hear so much detail of the creation. Back to the original point, that tapa, austerity, must be performed preceding any activity, because austerity is the wealth of the brahmanas, if you like. It's the it helps one to clarify their consciousness and helps one to hear transcendental subject matter. And that should be the purpose of tapasya, actually, not to just gain so many results, but it is ultimately to, as we're hearing in today's verse, gain the association of devotees so you can hear ultimately about Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse, and he says that it's not actually austerity that allows you to gain the association of devotees so you can hear about Krishna. It's not austerity that does that. It's actually the mercy of the devotees. It's the devotees that allow you to get the association of devotees. It's not just the austerity. And we're hearing in the verse that those who are progressing on the path back to the kingdom of Godhead, the Vaikunthas, this means that one is practicing sadhana bhakti or sadhya bhakti, prema bhakti. And one can only do that, one can only hear about how to do that in the association of devotees. So the prime lesson here between in the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya is actually devotee association. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sava Shastri Khoi. Lava Mantra, Sadhu Sangha, Sava Siddhi Hoi. But even just a moment's association with the pure devotee, isn't it? All success is achieved. We were discussing last night in our Brahmachari class that the association of devotees is so important. It's stressed, and even to the point where Prabhupada said that sadhu sangha is 90% of our advancement in Krishna consciousness. The association you keep determines your progress and ultimately your success in Krishna consciousness. And we're hearing from Srila Prabhupada. We're also discussing how it was that when you're reading Srila Prabhupada's books, that it's not just knowledge that you gain and transcendental understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it's the association of a pure devotee. You're associating with a pure devotee in his books. Prabhupada gives the negative example of if you read materialistic literature written by materialistic persons, then you take on their qualities. You're hearing from materialistic persons, and then as a result of that, you develop materialistic desires. But in the association of devotees, you develop spiritual desires. We were just discussing that also. We're discussing how it was that your association with the brahmacharis is very important to develop camaraderie and develop deeper relationships for longevity in the brahmachari ashram. It's the same in any ashram, that relationships are very important, and actually the individual is no man is an island, as the famous saying goes. We are social creatures. We need association. And spiritual association, which is the point here, like I said, develops spiritual desires. The desire to want to understand our original relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada alludes to a very famous verse in the beginning of this purport, in the fifth canto. Mahatsevam dvaram aho vamukdes tamo dvaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Firstly, Lord Rishabdev says in the fifth canto to his sons, he says that mahat sevam dvaram. Dvaram means path. There's the path of serving the Mahatmas. And then there's tama, yoshitam dvaram, and there's the path of serving the materialists. One path leads to liberation, one path leads to hell. Dvaram also means doorway. So there's a doorway and there's two paths. So one can choose to serve the Mahatmas. And of course Lord Rishabdev says that the impersonalists and the devotees, they both, in the purport, they both seek perfection and they both seek happiness. But the materialist seeks happiness of a different kind. So he's referring to that verse. But the essential point is the association of devotees. And we all have our different situations, and we all have our different ashrams. Whether you're in the Grihastha ashram or in the Brahmacharya ashram, or you've taken Vanaprastha, you've taken sannyas, in any ashram, you need association. And you should seek association. You should seek transcendental, pure association. And of course, the most pure and transcendental association we have is Srila Prabhupada, of course, in the form of his books and his instructions. His vani. Very important that we hear from Srila Prabhupada daily. And that we should always attend Srimad Bhagavatam class, isn't it? And discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam. And hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nashtaprayasya Vadveshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavaduttamashloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. As we hear in the first canto, that always hearing the glories of the Lord and the association of devotees. Nityam. That word is emphatically used in that verse to always hear in the association of devotees. We can be here physically. We can be here mentally. We can even be here intellectually. On those three levels, we can actually be present in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. But are we actually here spiritually? What is our agenda? What is our intention? What is our motivations for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class? What is our motivations for hearing and chanting about Krishna? Are our intentions pure? Do we actually want to hear about Krishna? Do we actually want to hear about the process of devotional service? Do we actually want to hear about Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana? Do we actually want to hear about the process of how to attain liberation, of how to become Krishna conscious? Because, yes, like I said, we can be here physically, mentally, and intellectually. And we actually may be alert. We may be actually catching the philosophy and understanding it gyanically, understanding the knowledge. We may be, to some degree, understanding it emotionally, or to some degree, understanding it sensually. But are we actually understanding it spiritually? Vidura asks this question at Maitreya, actually. How it is that the living entity can actually hear the message of Godhead. And of course, Srila Prabhupada came to the West to give us this message. And he himself, being an acharya, was walking the talk of how not only to wear the clothes, wear the beads, how to chant, how to do the externals, how to follow Vanashram Dham to some degree. But Srila Prabhupada showed us how to, well, live and die. But he also showed us how to actually hear Srimad Bhagavatam and actually apply it in our lives. It's very important that we understand how to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And that takes practice. Again, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, always hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. Because there's many, many kind of speakers on Srimad Bhagavatam. They give Bhagavat Saptas. They give 7-day, requisitions, expositions on the Srimad Bhagavatam. But now, the ultimate goal of their presentation isn't actually love of Krishna, isn't actually understanding your relationship with Krishna, and actually isn't transcendental knowledge. They have some, their intent and their motive is different from that of a pure devotee. And if you hear from such a person, and all the externals may be there, they may have the aartis going on, they may have the kirtan going on, they may have the maybe dressed in such a way that they look transcendental, they may even speak so well, and they may chant very nicely, but at heart they're not actually leading us to Krishna. They're not actually, they don't actually have pure love for Krishna. And so we have to be careful of that. We have to be able to discriminate. We have to be childlike, but not childish, as we were discussing last night. Childlike innocence, but with discrimination. And that our faith isn't stolen away by materialistic endeavors or materialistic association. And a nice pastime that illustrates this is the killing of Vatsasura, the calf demon. And as you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that the killing of the demons in Vrindavan represent, as you know, these demons represent anartas. There's many examples. So just briefly, Putana represents the false guru. Two kinds of false guru. The mind is a guru, and it can lead you away from Krishna. It has so many complications. So that is one guru. Then you have your false gurus that come from India. Well, many places, but India is the first one that came to mind. one of those of which I was just talking about that give those Bhagavad Saptas. Trinavata represents wrangling, philosophical wrangling, trying to skew so many meanings out of the scriptures. The forest fire, the first forest fire represents intercommunal discord amongst the Vaishnavas. In other words, if we're not getting along together, the forest fire demon is blazing. And what does Krishna do? He puts that out. He, isn't it? Breathes in the fire. Keshi demon represents pride in devotional service. Agasura represents cruelty. All these anattas have to be removed. But Vatsasura represents a childlike behavior in devotional service and not being careful of our faith. So how does the pastime go? As you know, Vatsasura took the shape of a calf. And of course Krishna understood this. And he mingled in with the rest of the calves. Calves are beautiful. They're beautiful little innocent creatures with beautiful doe-like eyes and floppy ears. And they're just so cute and cuddly, isn't it? You can just hug them to death. They're so beautiful. So this innocence is there. And he took the shape of this innocence. So he's mingled with the rest of the calves. And so Krishna recognizes this, of course. Krishna understands. He knows everything, past, present, and future. He's the supreme original personality of Godhead. And he can see that this calf is a demon. He tells Balaram, hey, see there's a calf just here. It's a demon. So Balaram, so let's do something about it. So they quietly sneaked up behind the calf. And then he grabs his hind legs, twirls them around, throws them up into a tree. Into a kapata tree of the kapata fruit. So not only did they kill the calf demon, but landed in a tree of kapata fruit, which are really high, and all the kapata fruit came down so that the cowherd boys could feast after the killing of the demon. Just a side point there is that Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys, they enjoy all day in their pleasure pastimes. And it's actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that demons come at different times of the day, around breakfast time, around lunch time, and around afternoon, evening, lunch, sort of afternoon snack time, so that they, when Krishna kills a demon, then they realize, oh my God, we haven't had lunch yet. This is a good time to have lunch. Yes, Krishna killed the demon, hey bo! Okay, now it's time for lunch. Nitaigo Premanandi. So they come for a reason, not only for Krishna to have his pleasure pastimes and to have his action and fun, but also that so that the cowherd boys don't starve. But anyway, the Vatsasura demon representing, yes, looking very innocent and looking very childlike. And we, in our devotional service, can be, we can have this innocence, which is good. But it can be, if we allow ourselves to be subject to materialistic association, then our faith can be damaged. Our faith can be minimized or misdirected. And so Krishna is, when we hear Krishna's pastimes, we are able to see how to deal with these impediments, and these anattas, which are removed by the process. But hearing, we must hear properly, we must hear Srimad Bhagavatam properly, so that yes, we're not misdirected by materialistic values and principles. So again, association is very important. It's very important that we associate with the devotees and we associate with hearing about Krishna. But how to do that so that we remain focused Because we have many opportunities throughout the day to forget Krishna and to forget the importance of the association of devotees in the workplace or even out on Sankirtan. It may even be doing direct service like book distribution, prasadam distribution. But there's many times in the day where our mind can wander and associate with materialistic persons. So we have to be very careful of that. There's four types of hearing. There's incidental hearing, there's practiced hearing, purposeful hearing, and then there's samadhi. There's absorbed hearing. The four kinds of the four examples there. Incidental hearing is when you're just hearing about subject matter in passing. Like an example for that is Bhishma Dev. When you hear about him in the first canto, he's on the bed of arrows. He's about to leave his body, and he's asked by Yudhisthira Maharaj and the Pandavas about Varnashram Dham. And he mentions, just in passing, about the intimate relationship between Krishna and the gopis. And that's very high subject matter. But he only mentions it, he doesn't go into it, he doesn't talk about it in detail. So that's incidental hearing. It just passes over the subject matter. Then practiced hearing is when you are hearing subject matter thoroughly. You're going over subject matter like, as we're hearing here, creation. You're reading certain parts of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, and you're learning the subject matter. Purposeful hearing is when you are studying for class. You're going over a particular part of Srimad Bhagavatam or the philosophy so that you can understand it thoroughly to be able to teach the subject matter. Then there's absorbed hearing, which is basically the Ashtakaliya Leela, the eightfold pastimes of Krishna throughout the day. Now that's a very high exalted platform, that kind of hearing. With us, in this situation that we're in, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam daily, that's more practiced or purposeful. We're on that platform. Well, I'm speaking for myself. And of course, we will have incidental hearing throughout the Bhagavatam until we reach the 10th canto. And even then, in the 10th canto, it doesn't go fully into the deepest, most intimate pastimes between Krishna and the gopis. But incidentally, throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll hear about very high subject matter. And we're guided by the devotees to understand the subject matter, like cosmic creation. And Keshava asked the question, is why is it that we're hearing so much about creation? And even in the third canto, and then the answer was to understand how much maya we're in, to understand how covered we are. And then, of course, he even wanted to explain how much maya we're in. Constantly in, maya. And actually the living entity isn't ever out of maya. Isn't it? In the material world we're in Mahamaya, in the spiritual world we're in Yoga Maya. Isn't it? We're never out of Maya. But just being in Mahamaya, we forget Krishna. And being in Yoga Maya, we can never forget Krishna. And as Rupa Goswami points out, isn't it? That all the injunctions of the Vedas, all the teachings of the Vedas are secondary to two principles. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna, isn't it? So, hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, but understanding how to hear properly And that can only be understood under the guidance of the spiritual master. That's what we're hearing in today's verse. Hearing the glories of the Supreme Person in the association of devotees. I'll stop there for now. Ask for questions or any on these points or any discussion, any corrections. I'll repeat the question for you. He was mentioning how I said earlier in the class that our association determines our success in devotional service. So based on that, should we try to find a Mahabhagavat devotee and associate with him and serve him? Was that the question? Well, yes, that's ideal. We have, again, like I say, the association of Prabhupada daily. Actually, every moment of the day when you read his books. And we're serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. So we have that opportunity for that kind of mercy, serving Srila Prabhupada. And through his disciples, our spiritual masters, we're serving the disciplic succession is, like we were explaining last night, the transparent via medium. We were discussing what the definition of transparent via medium is, and it's explained that the spiritual master takes mercy because it's given in the first, isn't it? It's gone. Samsara dava nalalita loka. Isn't it like a rain cloud dispersing rain? And the spiritual master acts in the same way as giving the mercy from the Supreme. But also the praise that's being given to the spiritual master, he hands on up, back up through the disciplic succession. There's problems when he tries to keep the praise for himself or when he tries to keep the mercy for himself. There's no blockage there. It goes both ways. The mercy comes down and the praise goes up. So, given that example, then yes, the mercy that our spiritual master is getting from Srila Prabhupada, he's distributing to his disciples. And he's a transparent via medium. You're offering praise to him and he's offering it up to Srila Prabhupada. It's the same principle when we're offering to the deities. That's the move that we have our picture of our spiritual master there. Everything that before we offer it to the deities, we're showing it to the picture of our spiritual master and we're asking to be able to assist them in offering the offerings to the Lord. So based on that principle, then you are serving a Mahabhagavat devotee through the chain of disciplic succession, which is intact according to Krishna and Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. It was broken, but it was now been reunited with Arjuna. So ideally, yes, we're looking for a Mahabhagavat to serve. And we are, through Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, and of course, back on up through the disciplic succession to Krishna. So the electricity, the conduit is intact, it's not dislocated. Is that all right? Any other questions on that point? Are there any other questions? Yes, sir.
One comment and question. One comment, as you said, we are in Maya. Once Prabhupada was there, Girar Maharaj asked him in Mumbai. 1972, that sometime we are in Maya, Prabhupada just put the bent stick. We are always in Maya. We are always in Maya.
Yeah.
That was the comment.
Yes.
So what you said exactly.
Thank you. Thank you for relaying that.
That's right. The ninth candle, they are very mysterious things discussed.
Mysterious things discussed in the ninth canto?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I was. Kevan Muni was sitting in the
be good to read over it again. My memory's not that good. I'm still not understanding your question, then.
The question was, the Sukanya, by as a child, young girl, she just hears in the song, the earth home, there were two earth home, and Chaitanya was sitting in that home. Mm-hmm. So the question is, why Chaitanya, such a big rishi, was sitting in the earth home?
Bhagavatam scholars, can we have the detailed answer to that question, please? Chavana Muni sitting in the hole. He's big Muni, but he's now in small tiny hole, and he's about to be stabbed to death by this. Can you? Nanda Mandir. You want to give that the answer? He wants, didn't want to be. There you go, you happy with that?
Or is it?
He doesn't want to be disturbed by people.
How you got irritated? You got disturbed.
Hey.
We were on the point the answer. Came up from Polish last night.
You got it.
Because these rishis, they know the past, present, and future. And he wanted to marry that girl. Therefore, he was okay. Keeping that point.
Acha.
The girl will come and pierce, and then she will get that girl.
Acha. Okay. Some material motivations. Is that...
That's it. Acha, we have them. Ninth winter is so beautiful. They're all our lust of it is completely finished when these two can pierce.
Acha. So that was a rhetorical question. You knew the answer. Thank you. Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
In our reading, what should be the percentage of reading Prabhupada's books as compared to reading the books by the Guru?
What should be the first?
Percentage. How much?
Still didn't quite catch that word. The first?
Percentage.
What should be the first percentage?
What should be the percentage? Like if we are reading for 1 hour, how much should we read?
How much of Srila Prabhupada's books should we be reading in the time that we're allotted? How much time we have for reading in the day? Well, Prabhupada's books should be the main menu. Should be a good like 95% or maybe 98%, because everything's in Prabhupada's books, isn't it? And of course Prabhupada does instruct, there's different parts in Chaitanya Charitamrita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam where he refers us to the previous Acharya's writings, like Krishna Lila Stava and Swan that he mentions directly, that the devotees can read. But we're recommended by our spiritual master a good 95% of our reading time should be Prabhupada's books. Does that answer your question? And then there's light reading. But yeah, to get further elucidation, there is the Srimad Bhagavatam with commentaries by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami that has all the Prabhupada's purports, and then the previous Acharya's commentary, their purports as well. So you're hearing from Srila Prabhupada, but then you're seeing also what the previous Acharyas, and you see how Prabhupada has woven his purports together from the previous Acharyas, along with his own realizations and ecstasies, as you know. But but yeah, to answer your question, a good 95%, I'd say, or 100%. can never get enough of Srila Prabhupada's books, isn't it? And get enough of his association. Any other questions, comments? Did you hear that question? That Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other great acharyas have they given more than what Srila Prabhupada has given in his books, and should we read those?
In the future.
Have they said things that Prabhupada hasn't, or in the future, should we be reading those books? Well, like I said, Prabhupada refers to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teachings, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's teachings also. But Prabhupada has, like I said, woven in the essence of their teachings. It's all there in terms of sambandha abhideya and prayojana. And previous acharyas may have said different things, but essentially they're the points that they're making, Prabhupada has captured those and he's put them in his purports. So in one sense, no. But in another sense, yes, to broaden our understanding and to hear from the other acharyas. Yes, that's okay. And yes, we can. At the same time, everything is in Srila Prabhupada's books. And for the sake of unpacking some pastimes, like you read the Krishna book, you read all of Krishna's pastimes, and then you read some commentary by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur on the 10th canto, and about the particular pastimes that Prabhupada has covered in the Krishna book. And Prabhupada will have, like, in one particular pastime, he'll have, like, in one sentence, he'll say, like, the cowherd boys went from this forest to this forest. Right? He'll say that, and you'll see that in, you know, you'll read that in the Krishna book. But then Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur will give, like, two or three volumes of books of what the cowherd boys did between that forest and that forest. So he takes that line and unpacks it into, like, about, you know, 27 volumes. And you can hear so much more detail. But Prabhupada's captured it, but there's more detail you can hear about the pastimes. But essentially, Prabhupada has captured the meaning, the motive, the intent, and ultimately the goal of the pastime in the Krishna book. Again, it's all there. This is how much you want to unpack it with the previous acharya's commentaries. So yes and no, to answer your question. Yes.
What you said is very correct, 100% correct. Prabhupada has told that in my books, my disciples are not reading my books because I have given nearly everything what they need to know to go back to God.
Yes. Everything is there. Everything you need to know to go back home, back to God.
Exactly.
And then he even compacts that into one sentence. And that is, if you chant, he said this to Yamuna Devi, when this is at Soho Street in London. It was actually Berry Place at the time, it was before they moved to Soho Street. But he said that if you serve the deities nicely, chant 16 rounds attentively, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. So in one sense, if you do devotional service and you chant your rounds attentively, then in this lifetime you'll go back to Godhead. So there's a blessing and an instruction from Srila Prabhupada, so very much compacting what you just relayed. But then of course attentive chanting is a lifetime project. To chant just one mantra or just to chant one name attentively, then we, speaking for myself, we have a lot of work to do. It's a lifetime project, chanting attentively, hearing and chanting attentively. And that was the point with, are we actually hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? And it takes practice. So Nityam Bhagavata Sevayam, always hearing in the association of devotees. And always practicing our japa, isn't it? But then all success is there, as we're getting the blessings from Srila Prabhupada, that if we hear attentively, then all the success is achieved. Two more minutes. Any other questions, comments? Padmasambhava Prabhu?
It's good to see you again.
Good to see you. Hare Krishna. Nice surprise. Any other questions, comments? Prabhu, would you like to say something? Welcome to Melbourne. And actually, you're getting the darshan. No. Just here till the 3rd of March, and then back to New Zealand. But you're having the darshan of Srila Prabhupada and the deities and the devotees. That's a perfection. I grant you Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. It's a cool.